Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. And one of the main themes of my new book addresses including every member of the human and divine life force in a multidimensional way, not only healing disease and symptoms, but helping the soul and human emotions to heal from life experiences and traumas. Today I welcome John Warham, author of How to Survive a Bullet to the Heart. Warham shares the profound observations of maximum security inmates who share their emotional and intellectual journeys from the moment of their crime and other realities of incarcerated life in poetry and prose during the 13-week course he offers that leads them to acquire deep levels of self-understanding and social awareness. And I believe it's a course everyone could benefit from. Hi, John.
Hey there, how are you?
Good. John, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, the show welcomes authors from all sectors and professions who share the glorious mission of life, which is self-investigation of our inner resources or the energy aspects of our life force, and then using this wisdom for improving our personal life journey as we learn to allow, accept, and view others with compassion and love, without judgment, blame, or speculation, merely empowering ourselves to view the gift of life as miraculous while learning to work with the light and shadow elements of our psyche and our physical world. In today's episode of Healing From Within, John will explain how he became inspired to teach prisoners using the program called Taking Wings, which started 18 years ago and is aimed at keeping inmates from returning to prison. We will find out much about the emotional damage, imprisoning beliefs and self-defeating behaviors, and the illusion of autonomy that not only affect those incarcerated in our prison systems, but when truly understood, can help everyone to navigate their individual challenges, assisting them in making better choices for everyday living. And isn't that what we really need? Warham is the author of Secrets of a Corporate Headhunter, The Anatomy of a Great Executive, and How to Break Out of Prison. Other fictional works include Chauncey on Top and The President's Therapist. John, who has been a human resource practice which selects and develops corporate leaders, created the Eagles Foundation in 1996. He is an unpaid volunteer for the program and regularly presents his innovative course for rehabilitating prisoners in New York prisons. According to Warham, his programs help inmates see issues that made them prisoners and gets at the roots of what holds us behind as individuals. And students have a very low return rate after taking this program. John, please tell us something about your earlier life or childhood, for I have found with many guests on the show, their interests and future pursuits became very evident early in life.
Well, no, that's true, I suppose. I was all, well, if you're asking me, to be honest, I had a very bad stutter. So I was physically unable to speak it was a real nuisance. And in my teens, by the time I'd asked a girl out, she had gone home. So it was sort of embarrassing, and I came close to ending my own life, actually. Anyway, I subsequently, to deal with that, I took up public speaking, and I became the national oratory champion, and then I've earned a whole lot of money as a speaker around the world. So it's sort of strange in a way that I wind up in prison teaching a class of prison inmates about self-understanding and how to deal with problems that you can't see your way out of. And I also teach public speaking there, and at the end of the 13-week course, everyone in my class is a skilled and first-class public speaker. So that's That if you were looking to see how my early upbringing somehow related to that.
I find that everyone I ask that question to does have a remembrance of something that was challenging that led them to want to do something very rewarding for themselves and others in their life.
Yeah, well, I would add to that. I don't know why people felt that I should be left alone, I guess. However, I was I did cope in a different way. I was what they called all the way back then a juvenile delinquent. I was completely frustrated with it, yeah,
Right.
sure. And so now I wind up teaching public speaking to a class of juvenile delinquents. I'm actually talking to myself in that class. Yeah, sure, I understand that.
That's great. And I see it is the circle of life.
I go back, I've been doing this now for 18 or so years, and people ask me why I go back, and I say, well, I go back because I see such a tremendous difference incredibly fast, and so I would feel guilty if I didn't go back because I can make a difference there in a way that is very hard to make a difference anywhere else in life
Yes,
at all.
and we
And
all want to. So tell us how, as a highly successful leadership consultant, you were inspired to work with maximum security prison inmates. You weren't doing that for a while. What led you into developing your program?
well, I got into it because, well, actually, my one of my sons, I've got three sons, one of them had a drug problem and was quite a brilliant individual. He had a degree in psychology from Columbia, but anyway, he wound up, because of his drug problem, he wound up in Rikers Island, and I was asked, somebody knew I'd written some books, and they asked if I would give a short talk to a class there, and I said, yeah, sure. And then they said, would you come back next week? And I said, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And then they said, would you come back forever? And I said, I think I will. I think I'll come back forever.
I know that after looking at your book, and it's very rewarding to you, as you just said. So to me, it sounds like a calling or a spiritual gift you were born to develop and to discover. And this involves being responsible and conscious of interconnecting with others and being of service for the highest good of all, which you definitely are. And I believe we all have a life plan and guidance and a destiny, and we follow our path, which can lead to a win-win situation. And in my new book, The Living Spirit, I help the reader gain a clearer understanding of energy as a universal connecting source for improving healthy relationships and for bringing prosperity. So we have to learn to play the game of life using the laws of universal energy, law of attraction, of love, of prosperity, and of relationships to transcend these personal challenges.
The Game of Life and How to Play It by Florence Shin. Someone gave me that book when I was in my early 20s, and I must say it did alter my life. She had a religious perspective, which I don't have, but she said to follow your intuitions.
That's absolutely the way to develop these higher thoughts and love
I
of
think so.
self and others and to improve the quality of life. And that's what you're doing in your
Yes, well,
class.
then, no, it's true. I've ever since then, I've just always thought I should walk towards the fire, you know, walk towards the thing that looks hard to do, or looks as if it couldn't be done. So that's what I've been doing
I'm sort of like
all
that
my
too.
life.
When I was
Yeah, sure.
17, I used to like there was a song, The Impossible Dream,
I
in
remember that
the
song, sure.
show Man of La Mancha. And
Yes.
that's what we're doing, and that's what life is about, moving forward to challenges that seem a little elusive, but in the end, with consistency and intent and action towards that direction, nothing really is impossible. And I think you're also teaching that. Now, did you ever feel your life was in danger working with any of these prisoners?
Everyone right now is in my class for murder, and that has been the way it is for the last few years. I've probably never felt as safe in the company of anybody as I have in the class that I teach. because those guys are all there. There's a tremendous amount of love in the room, which is quite the opposite of what everyone thinks. And I would trust those guys really to protect me. As soon as they see that I'm really there, I understand their situation, and I'm going to share some information which will help them to alter their lives. They're very, very grateful. And so, no, I suppose maybe once there was one guy in the class who was upset when I criticized him, and and he was a big guy too. He would have been 6 feet 4, 6 feet 6, and a big, strong African American guy. And he said he was annoyed. He shouldn't have been let out. They were going to let him out the next week or something, or the week after, and really he should have been there for a year, because I didn't think he had the insight yet, and I was concerned that if he got out and he argued with anybody the way that he argued in the class with everybody, that he would be back in there so quickly. And I explained that to him. I said, if you are going to argue with the people in here like that, and with me like that, then when you get out of here and you're speaking to a boss, you won't have a job. You'll be out of a job so fast.
Well,
So,
John, I don't think you were criticizing him.
Oh no, I
I
wasn't.
think
I
you
was
were,
being helpful to him.
yes, you were giving him a heads up
I
because.
was, I was, I was, I was, I was giving him a heads up. That's exactly what I was doing. And he looked at me and he said, he was angry. He said to everybody, he said, "You're just one person in 300 million. That's what you are, just one per." And I looked at him, and everybody went quiet. I said, "Do you know what? It's true. I am just one person in 300 million, and I believe that you are also. And yet somehow the universe has been ordered so that you're sitting there, and I'm standing here, so that we can learn something from each other."
Absolutely. It's not random, the people that we meet in our life. And you gave him something very important to think about. And you also use three words that you say will help anybody make a human connection. That is being firm, kind, or amusing. And these are good tools for interconnecting with any audience. And it's true. People want to be appreciated and loved. They want to move past any discomfort or pain to pleasure and happiness. They just have to have the tools to begin to do that. And we can go on now to something about female inmates, because you wrote something in the book that showed the difference between how they are received and what's going on in the prison, and which makes a difference. So what did you write about the female inmates?
Well, I personally think it's much harder to help the women than the men, because the women generally wind up in prison because they either take drugs to deal with the stress in their lives, or they sell drugs to put food on the table for the children because they don't have a father there, or they get convicted for shoplifting. And anyway, one way or another, they then go to jail, and when they get out, they seldom have the support system that is required, and they have an intense feeling of helplessness. It can be very hard to help those people,
Yes,
very hard.
I do know that. And what you pointed out was the men often get visits from mothers or wives
Exactly,
or
exactly. I
lovers.
just,
The
yes.
women are pretty much alone to fend for themselves and these children. And it is only the system that can help them to develop friendships, perhaps with other women who can
Are you
work
sure? It's true, it's
together
true.
in a, in a collective group. And I do understand that. Also, women work on both sides of their brain. They are more emotional. They do give more thought to every decision and action they take. And sometimes they'll still make a wrong choice out of desperation or just not having enough resources to sustain them and just to survive. But the men work more on the left side of the brain, so they have a goal and they continue, move forward. And they don't give it the same amount of thought back and forth. They just act. And so that's a little easier.
I think it's a lot easier, but as you say, the men always have their wives and their mothers coming in to see them, or their girlfriends, And they'll often bring the children. But of the women, when they go to jail, they do not get visits. They hardly ever get anyone at all.
Now, you mentioned Carl Jung. He's one of my favorites. And you attribute some of the success for the Taking Wings program, that's what you call your program, to his philosophy and an integration of spiritual understandings into his treatment plans. Can you tell us something about Carl Jung and how he has affected the class that you teach?
Yeah, sure. What Carl Jung said is that the patient only begins to get well when he first has an understanding of his predicament, and second, can see a way out of it. So what I say to my classes, I say to them, look, you cannot get out of jail, you cannot ever get out of jail until you understand the forces that brought you in here. Because until you understand them, you'll go out there and you'll make the same mistakes over and over. So let me explain to you why you are here, even though you think you know why you're here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, you are here because you thought you made a choice to commit a crime. And in fact, you were a victim of the illusion of choice. There was no actual choice for you because you could conceive of no other option than to commit that crime. You think you could, but if you had been able to, you wouldn't be sitting here at all today. So you have been a victim, actually. You are, in fact, a victim. And a lot of people will argue that point. And I say to them, okay,
I don't argue that point. I think it's the absolute truth.
And it is the absolute truth, yes.
They are a victim of social mores and their environmental conditioning and their lack of resources. And
the inability to see any other option.
There was probably no other option. And you say that's how your program is different from other programs. Because
it's a big difference. This will interest you. All right. I was having dinner with the chief executive of a huge world advertising agency, and he used to be a copywriter. And he said to me, John, he said, I understand that you have a very low recidivism rate in your class. What is it that you actually say to these people? What is the actual thing? And I say to him, well, I explain to them that they're the victims of the illusion of choice and that they aren't victims. And his wife looked at me and she said, I don't believe that. And he looked at me and he said, I don't believe that either. I said, well, you didn't ask me to give you information that you would believe. I know that you don't believe it, but you asked me, what is the information that I give to these men that causes them not to come back again? Now, there is a second question. Is it true or is it untrue? Now, I happen to believe that it's true, but you believe that it's untrue. So even if you stood up in my class, if I took you along to my class and you stood up and you uttered those words, nobody would believe you because they would know that you don't believe it, and so you wouldn't be any good at altering or helping anybody. But when I share those words, they know I believe it, and they know that I believe it because it's true.
And what you're giving them, not attempting to give them, but what you're really giving them, is an inside look at their heart-based view of themselves and to respect and honor themselves because of the conditions that led them to where they are and to change the patterns of their childhood behaviors and thinking so they could create something new. And that is the essence of what we're here on this earth to learn, to understand our childhood patterning, what causes us distress or unhappiness or limitation, and to move forward to be the most magnificent beings that we can be in this physical world. And that's what you're doing with them. I say bravo to you. And I would like to read one inmate's poem that reflects this very idea, and it's Cold Entry by Richard Moore. In the moment of my arrest, I was embarrassed and ashamed, so I tried to point the finger, needed someone else to blame, had to find my true self and an honest friend for truth to unfold. It's a lonely world with no one to trust, and also very cold.
I love that poem.
And there's the truth of so many human failures, a lack of love, a lack of help from others, a lack of unity and oneness.
Exactly. No,
yeah.
I happen to agree with that. Actually, the one that I like is by Sheldon Arnold, who's 25 years old and has served 1 year, and he's got 15 years left to serve. And he's a brilliant individual. He's a really smart, switched-on guy, a great speaker, tremendous subtlety in his intellect. He's the man that opens the book, and he says, "Who am I? What have I done? I can't believe I did that. What have I become? Why are those guys oozing red? That one looks just like he's dead. They're staring at me, everyone. Wherever did I get this gun?"
And that's the truth. Where does it come from?
No, he's a man waking up from a bad dream to find that he's in a nightmare, actually. And I say to people, what sort of a society do we live in when a brilliant man like this cannot get an education but can easily get a hold of a gun? Whoever put that gun in his hand is, well, where did I get this gun? And I say, well, if you lived where I lived, which was on the other side of the world in New Zealand, actually, you would not have even been able to get that gun, right?
Right.
Anyway, that's a whole other issue. The gun laws in America, to be quite honest, are crazy.
It is an issue in a civilized, humane society. And eventually, hopefully, there will be adjustments to that. You distribute a book in your class, and it's called How to Fly. And it's a challenging book of life-changing discussion readings that you've taken from major thinkers and philosophers. Now, John, I have a coincidence with you. And my first book is called Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection. And I believe nothing. The people we're meeting, the places we go, and the experiences we're having. Nothing is really random. It's part of this collective consciousness and way for us all to recognize who we are as a divine spiritual being. So I have a story with you. In my book, The Living Spirit, there is the story of a little penguin who wants to fly like the birds above him, but he's only a bird of the land and the sea. And he's not able to accomplish this. So one night, Santa's sled lands in the middle of the lake, and this little penguin, all by himself, he builds up his courage and fortitude, and he goes into the middle of the lake, and he pulls this sled out onto the land. And because of this action and intention to help, he's rewarded by spirit, and they send 10 birds who lift him up so he could fly with them. And I think it's like the inmates who have only dreamed their dreams without knowledge of how to achieve them. And you're helping them do that, to develop the skills that will help them accomplish their dreams. And everyone deserves a chance to go beyond whatever conditions they're dealing with. So I found that similar to the book you're using.
Right, with the eagle story. I think, yeah, what has been interesting to me is that if I show them, if I give them an understanding of the problem, which is to say that you are in fact a victim, but not in the way that you thought, okay? That you thought you were making choices, but you had that all wrong. If I then lead them through those ideas, that I don't really have to show them the way out, because when they understand the first part, these are smart guys, they can see what they have to do going forward, right?
Absolutely.
They will alter their own lives, and so they are then released with a whole other way of seeing the world, understanding themselves, and understanding where they fit and what they have to do to enjoy the life that they would like to have.
Well, actually, you're right. They will change their thoughts, and therefore they'll change the energy, because thoughts are energy. And then they will, like the law of attraction, attract better energy and people and circumstances to themselves. And that is the way.
What I would like to
surely
do
then.
before I change their mind, no, before you change your mind, no, before we change the mind, we have to heal the heart. If
Yes.
we can heal the heart, if we can heal the heart, the mind will accept ideas that it had never seen before. So as soon as someone explains to you, listen, you have been wounded, right? You've been wounded, but you weren't able to see the wound. Let's apply some dressing to the wound, right? And now let's think about some big ideas. And having thought about ideas, let's think about the actions that you'll take as you go forward in life, right? So I leave them with three big words, which I have on a coin, actually. I give them a coin when they graduate. And the three words are USA, Liberty, and Sam. USA stands for unconditional self-acceptance. I'm as good as anybody. I'm as good as anybody. I deserve to be here as much as anybody does in the world at all. In my heart, I'm perfect. Now, I may have some behaviors that I need to work on, but in my heart, I'm as good as anybody. And then liberty, liberating beliefs. Instead of believing I can't do it, you say, yes, I can do it. Okay? To exchange imprisoning beliefs for liberating beliefs. And then finally, Sam, self-affirming maneuvers instead of self-defeating behaviors.
Excellent.
USA, Liberty, and Sam. And I have that at the close of the of my book, actually, which if you didn't get to it, the final pages of the book, I think actually contain the formula in a pretty neat form, actually.
Well, I think that's excellent, and I think that is the way. And I want to thank you, John Warham, author of How to Survive a Bullet to the Heart, for your compassionate efforts to help those who may have been wounded or disappointed by their early start in life, often dealing with lack of enough resources to provide feelings of trust and safety and perhaps faith that they might survive and thrive in the physical world. And we know it's only through this fear or lack of knowledge that leads many to make poor choices. Also, it is by education and respecting each person that we may all come to forgive the pain of any past hurt to the soul, the heart, or psyche. Perhaps that is the main reason we have chosen a physical life. For more information, please go to eaglesgather.org. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have offered a sensitive look at a problem which affects us all. If we don't provide adequate support and love for all our citizens, we will have criminal consequences. The lofty mission of the Eagles Prison Program is to help maximum security prison inmates to share their journeys from innocence to criminality, arrest to bewilderment, conviction to incarceration, despair to hope, defeat to victory, vice to virtue, and lawlessness to love. As John writes, enlightenment. Is that a fuzzy idea, or what Taoists say, that to be enlightened is to be in harmony with the universe? Christians say it's about being reborn and putting away childish things. My own take is that it's all about waking up and getting real. Too many people sleepwalk through life. They think they're making their own choices, but they are not. Psychologists call that the illusion of autonomy. From childhood onwards, these sleepwalkers bumble through life mindlessly, reacting to their upbringing and environment. In fact, your upbringing and environment denied you any other option. You could conceive of no other choice, and so for you, none existed. No matter what happened to you along the way, and no matter your crime, the self at the center of your being is perfect. It is the calm eye in the eye of the storm. No matter the hurricane about you, the center remains calm. John and I would hope that we all begin to recognize the forces and influences of our modern world and also the needs of our inner soul life. We will remember what we knew as children in our hearts and learn again to trust ourselves and to know that many times choices are made karmically, instinctively, and without full awareness of the consequences to ourselves or others. The hope is always in forgiving and helping to rectify and improve all conditions so we may all claim our destiny as divine souls. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear leaders in their fields of expertise share the wisdom of their hearts and minds to empower us to greater enjoyment of our lives, always learning and loving as we go forward. Also go to WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVisionsRadio.com. Thank you for listening.